This is
Just Once.
Just Once.
Just Once.
On Radio.
On Radio Kerry.
Hi, my name is Zara, and just once, I wish I could go back to February 24th, 2015. Like, I'm always getting given out to by my mom and my brother, like, oh, you're so sarcastic, or you're just like your dad. We kind of had the same sense of humour, so, like, his sarcasm and my sarcasm, we just bounced off each other and we got it straight away. He was very funny. When it was a good time for him, he'd dance around the kitchen and he'd sing and he'd just be really, like, goofy and just fun. Just once, I wish I could go back to see you one last time. To hear your voice and to hug you tighter for longer. If I could go back to that day, I would tell you that things will get better. That there is a light at the end of the tunnel and everyone is waiting for you, knowing you'll get there. I would tell you how much I loved you 1,000 times over. I would make you smile, make you feel worthwhile, and never leave the house that day. If I could go back to that day, just once, I would change everything. Maybe I could have stopped you, but maybe this is what was supposed to happen. Maybe we do all have a path in life, and this was just part of your path. A long, bumpy road filled with both happy and sad times, coming to a halt faster than we ever could have envisioned. Faster than the raindrops that fell that day, faster than my heart can beat, and faster than we could ever come to terms with the tragedy that was unfolding before our eyes. Just once, I wish I could have changed the outcome of that day. Just once, I wish that February 24th, 2015 was just another day. Another day where I woke up, went to college and returned home to see your face or to hear your voice. Just once, I wish that no longer would February 24th bring so much sadness, fear and heartache. Just once, I wish that that date could have been like any other. If I could go back to that day just once, I never would have returned home. For when I returned, my life was changed forever. Life as I knew it would never be the same, and I became part of another family. A large community of people affected by the same thing, suicide. Only those accepted into this family could understand. They know how you felt, how you will feel, and how different your life would be forevermore. They know the devastation left behind after a decision was made by a loved one. As a community of people, all connected by that one word. A word which could haunt each and every person for the rest of their lives. But a community that could provide sympathy, empathy, and support. A community bound together, bound by sadness, but held together by the prospect of positivity. Held together by the sheer devastation and shock, but more positively, the support, camaraderie, and solidarity. With a vision to help others, create a legacy for their loved ones, and standing together through the tough times ahead. Just once, I wish I could go back to February 24th, 2015. And just once, I wish I could say, Dad, don't do it.
I suppose the best moment of my life. That's one of the best moments of my life, guys. That's Jackie Ray for you know that. That's Jackie Ray. And that's the supporters that we have. That's the team that we have. That's the people in the ground that voted for us. Voted for myself and Michael. I thank you all so very, very much.
Commander Kinga!
I would like to send a message out to the big shots in Dublin, to the people who look down their noses at us, to the journalists who wrote horrible things about us.
Like what?
Well, I'll give you an example, and you know, and you'll excuse me now that I won't say the name because I wouldn't like to embarrass the person, but to think that there was journalists who wrote articles and labelled us as the Healy Ray pigs. Now, for any journalist to write that about a family where there was children involved and everything, it was actually outrageous. If you said it about an ethnic community, you know, you could possibly get jail for it. So these people thought so little of us that they were able to be looking down their noses at us. Well, my answer to them is now today, please stop that type of nonsense, because you're offending an awful lot of people in Kerry. Because if we're looking down our nose at the Healy Rays and saying dirty things about us, you're also insulting the people of Kerry who back us, whether it is with number ones or number twos or number threes. So the message must go out from this count centre here tonight, that when we go to Dublin, we're going there with a mandate, the same as the people from other parts of the country.
That's brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. We dream about these days. Sorry, I'm very emotional. It's a great day.
It's a good thing to be emotional, Pat, because when your own club, a small club, wins something like this, and your own family involved.
It is. It's a special day because we're a small club with a big heart, great families, great supporters down through the years. We dream about days like this. We never thought. Look, we went for about 10 years winning. I think we won 4 matches in Kerry in a 10-year spell one time. We were so bad. But we soldiered on, and this is the icing on the cake.
Why are these so special, Pat? Is there tears flowing down your face?
There is. We should. Look, these are my neighbours. These are my family. These are my friends. These are the people I grew up with. These are the lads we soldiered together all our life. This is what the GA is all about, communities. And like I said, we're a small club, but we have a great heart and great spirit, and we're keeping the flag flying, and we passed it on to this generation. They're a very special generation, and I know they'll pass the love of football.
They're lovely football, Pat. Beautiful.
It's Kerry football. It's skill. It's moving the ball fast. It's kicking scores. It's good forward play. We're not negative. We're not defensive. We go out and do our best and play football.
Pat, you're a credit to the county.
They are indeed. Thanks, Misha.
The guard rang it and he said, oh, they found your bag. There's nothing in it. Like, don't get excited. He said, there's nothing in it. He said, it is full of seaweed. But a local man was out shooting and he shot the bag. He was out shooting ducks along the Sheen River or along that way. And
he shot
he
the
goes
bag.
Very often there.
He shot the bag, Eileen.
He shot at the bag.
He shot
because he thought it was a duck. And he just went over then to it and he picked it up and he didn't realize, he had no idea about the bag, but he did hear something in Kerry Radio about that there was a lost bag.
We unite in prayers for the soul of our little angel, as well as his wonderful, loving mother Anna. For those who are still interested in financial support for Anna, we want to inform you that you can find the account number on the Radio Kerry's website. I cannot express in words the gratitude for the support of all of you. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart and ask for praise. Let Anna safely return home.
Okay, Damien, look, I know it's been a very difficult time over the last couple of days, and I know there's a separate investigation going on, but obviously the family are looking to repatriate baby Carol back to Poland. And any idea how long that will take, or that's obviously going to be an expensive process as well?
It's going to be an expensive process, but on the Polish side, because here all the people which are going to help us, the funeral home and all the transport to Poland and our airlines, doesn't ask for any fees. So okay. That was a huge surprise for us, but it's meant a lot to our family as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But the body and her mom, Anna, and Anna's mom, they will return to Poland on Friday morning. Mm. And the mass in Poland is going to take place on Saturday next day at 2:00 Irish time.
Mm. What part of Poland?
It's the south. Ohabit is called the place where she lives.
Okay. How long has Anna been in Killarney?
In Killarney nearly 2 years, but with this short break, because when she was pregnant, she went back to Poland.
Okay. And you must be, you seem, and obviously Anna seems overwhelmed with the level of support that people have been offering for you in the last couple of days.
Yes, that's a huge support from them, yeah.
When I heard her friend speaking this morning, I said, how thoughtful of them and how thoughtful of everybody to put money into the account for them, because this is what they need right now to help them. And like, that woman won't be right for a number of years.
How was it for you, Mary?
Torture. It is still torture today. You get up every morning and for that split second you're okay, and then you realise your boy is gone or your child is gone. And it is just hard And when you hear of somebody else being dying of the same circumstances or another child or something like that, you just go, oh my God, I know exactly the pain, and that pain will never leave you, even though I've got other children and they're wonderful children. But you have to keep going every day for them, where you just love to cuddle up inside in bed every day and forget about life. But you can't. You have to get up every morning and smile, have the lunch on the table and the dinner on the table, and tuck them into bed and smile and go into bed then and just think. Sleep for a couple of hours and wake and think and start all over again.
Is it a constant battle?
A constant battle, it is. Like, you see people getting on with their lives, his friends, going to college now, and you're just like, oh my God, where would my boy be today? Like, when he died, I knew what year he was in. I knew what classes he did. I knew his debs was coming up. I knew this, I knew that. I knew everything about him. But now, I don't know what college he'd be in, if he would be in college, what course would he be doing. Do you know, it's just like, it's so hard now. They say time heals everything. Very, very slowly. Very slowly. I'm talking like, my baby gone since 2013. It should be getting better, you should be saying to yourself, but it's not.
Kerry is a place where if you're a whore, you know you're made. Getting called an almighty whore, this is the greatest compliment a footballer could get. Good teams are made up of many types of whores. In goals, you need a mad whore who gives as good as he gets. Full backline, it's the tough little butty whore with a stout chest and shovels for hands. Of course, you'll win nothing without an almighty whore at centre-back. One of your midfielders might be tall, dark and handsome, but should be a notorious whore as well. In the half-forwards, tis a few thin, nippy, thundering whores you want. And up front, you need the socks up, jersey in, gelled hair, flashy whore. On the subs, you have the hairy whore, the yellow whore, and the foxy whore. The team has to be managed, of course, by the cute whore. And sometimes missing because he has a cold is the lively whore. And one of his selectors is always an old grey whore. Sometimes the referee is a useless whore. Whores of many colours make Kerry the place it is. Kerry is Radio Kerry.
Was the word entrepreneur even around when you were starting out, Michael? Was it seen as that?
No, and I couldn't spell it. You know, I wouldn't have known what it meant back then. And isn't it just wonderful? These are little 10-year-olds, 12-year-old kids, and I've just seen some of the boots, and it's remarkable what they're accomplishing. But it teaches them, you know, the value of the money that they're earning. That shows them how to earn it. It shows them then that they get the reward, and they have respect for that, which I think is hugely important. You know, young children actually getting a reward for something that they dreamed up. You know, we can never underestimate the power of dreams, and I think that's what this is all about, and that's what Jerry has shown them.
Yeah, they're getting the mentoring in how to develop their ideas, but I suppose the thing is that it gives them a chance to showcase the talents that they have in this area, and that wasn't looked at before. It was all strictly academic in school. Now this is a different skill set that they'll be able to demonstrate, and it facilitates that.
Yeah, well said. You know, it is, and it teaches them how to think for themselves. That is so vitally important in life. You know, it's okay for us to teach them what we want them to learn, but for them to learn to think for themselves, I think it's so exciting. It will start them off on the road to doing great things in their life. They'll never be afraid to do it now that they've learned how to do it at such a young age.
It's a big lifestyle change to give up the drink, of course, as we all know, particularly in political circles, I'd imagine.
Well, Deirdre, I suppose I'm 64 and I was a very happy drinker for about 44 years. And, I suppose it's like the Irish thing, you know, drink is so much part of our society, so much part of our daily life in politics, particularly in the Senate, because you're constantly meeting councillors who tend to be up for delegations, or if you visit them and meet them at conferences and that, it's convivial. And I always like a drink, I must say, I enjoyed my drinking. But I'm enjoying my sobriety now, just as much now that I've got a handle on it. You know, when people do give up drink, they can tend to get depressed because they don't see life thereafter, and they're kind of they're enduring life without drink. Life is to be enjoyed with or without, and I'm certainly, once I get my ribs healed up, I intend to enjoy what's left of my life to me.
And look, I don't want to be probing too much, Ned, but there wasn't a scenario where you had to go away and dry out or anything like that?
Not really. I think more or less I found that I wasn't effective enough anymore. I was running out of steam. My energy levels were way down and my work rate suffered. Now, I have a great work rate, and despite what I'm saying, I did a very heavy workload this year. I immersed myself really in party duties. When I stopped drinking, I thought the best thing I could do now was get busy. And our party needs every help it can get, because we're such a small parliamentary party, there's no place to hide anymore.
If you were not famous or you had a lot of money, no country wanted you. And then they heard that the British consul in Munich had a few papers for Palestine. It was still under the Arabs at the time, with a British mandate. And the Arabs didn't want Jews there either. And so, but with this visa they could go, and so they were saved. So if all Jews would have left, Hitler wouldn't have killed people.
Do you hear and you see the rise of politicians on the far right in Europe and maybe even in America? You hear Donald Trump say, I'm going to build a wall and keep people out.
Building walls against those people who leave really to save their life. And they don't let them in, and little kids drawn. Yeah. And the world just switches off the television. In our time, they could say we didn't know, but now we can't say we don't know, because we see it in our own living room, what is happening. And still, we don't find a solution. The European Union and the United Nations meetings with no results whatsoever.
Yeah. Is that your biggest message? Should the world reread Anne Frank's diary? Should the leaders of the world maybe reread Anne Frank's diary? And
they know, but they don't take any notice.
They don't learn the lessons of it.
Learn the lesson. No. There is greed and selfishness and power, and they don't really want to help people.
We are told that if Irishmen go by the thousand to die, not for Ireland, but for Flanders, for Belgium, for a patch of sand in the deserts of Mesopotamia, or for a rocky trench in the heights of Gallipoli, they are winning self-government for Ireland. But if they dare to lay down their lives on their native soil, if they dare to dream even that freedom can be won at home only by men who are resolved to fight for it there, then they are traitors to their country, and their dream and their deaths are phases of a dishonourable fantasy. But history is not so recorded in other lands. In Ireland alone in this 20th century is loyalty held to be a crime. And if loyalty be something less than love and more than law, then we have had enough of such loyalty for Ireland and Irish men. If we are to be indicted as criminals, to be shot as murderers, to be imprisoned as convicts because our offence is that we love Ireland more than we value our own lives, then I do not see what virtue resides in any offer of self-government held out to brave men on such terms.
And I'd like to thank, first of all, Eamon Fitzmaurice and all his management team for what they've done in the last 3 years that were involved. I just want to announce here tonight, and I think it's fitting here to be announced, and I think the wise was saying was live on Radio Kerry, that Eamon Fitzmaurice and the management team are staying on, going forward for the Kerry. When you lose, lads, it's hard. And when you lose, you have to be honourable. And we got to congratulate Dublin and yesterday they were the better team over on the game over the 70 minutes. And we have no disrespect about anything, but I tell you, Dublin are the world champions, and we're down here in Kerry. We'll be giving our best for 2016 and giving the best for Kerry and for everybody in this county that who we represent.
The first thing to sort out was whether it's actually a usable instrument or whether it was just an ornamental memento. And I asked Tom McCormack for his opinion. Tom is a surgeon at Kerry General Hospital, but he also sailed as the ship's doctor on the replica Genie to America in 2003.
This is not an ornament. This is a practical saw, which has very sharp teeth and would be a saw which would have been used for amputation. It would have been used for cutting major bones like the thigh bone or the femur. It is a serrated saw and would have cut as probably nearly as easily as a modern day saw.
So this was a saw that was meant to be used. It wasn't a parting memento to be put up on the mantelpiece. Clearly, Richard Blennerhassett meant a lot to these men, that they would spend their hard-earned money on a gift like this. And sailors, you see, moved from ship to ship all the time, and very few transatlantic ships sailed home with exactly the same crew that they sailed out with. So it was very hard to create enough of a communal spirit to club together to buy a gift for a ship's doctor, if there was a doctor on board, which usually there wasn't. And even if there was, he was more than likely the kind of quack that would kill more people than he would cure, particularly when it came to amputations, which were not for the faint-hearted.
We have noticed, certainly since the summertime, this summer especially, that the amount of people passing through and really just either urinating, especially on our grounds, as you drive into Killarney, the friary is the building on the right-hand side. And really, for a lot of people coming in, you know, to see people urinating, this could be day, but especially at nighttime as well, the building is well lit up and the grounds are lit up. So we see people a lot of the time just urinating either against the wall of the friary or actually in the grounds itself.
It's been on the increase this...
It's certainly, yeah, since this summer especially. Really, I suppose, what the peak for us was the weekend of the 4th of July where you had, there was the parade. I think the Ring of Kerry was on the Saturday and then there was a big match on the Sunday.
The Munster final, yeah.
Yeah, and it was absolutely, you know, to look out your window and to see people urinating is one thing, but then they're actually defecating as well by trees and especially around our graveyard. So it really has escalated since the toilets have been taken away.
People actually were doing that in public?
In public, yeah. In the day. During the day as well.
During the day?
During the day, yeah. So we have a day and night.
Jamie O'Sullivan, is he the hero? It's looking good!
High for the Legion! The time has gone well up, Jamie O'Sullivan! 33 minutes, 56 seconds gone. I don't know where he got the time. The time is well up long ago. So Kerry are absolutely, they're furious, Gary. There's punches being thrown out there. The scores are level. It's 9 points each.
I'd say South Kerry are saying, Rishi, there was 2 minutes allowed.
Gary, I don't know where he got the time. I tell you this now, Gary. He gave the Legion every chance now. That's my view now.
It's gone messy. There's still a punch-up. It's still going on.
It's still going on, yeah.
There's a punch-up. They've come in from all sides.
What a great point by Jamie O'Sullivan. Great point by Jamie O'Sullivan, yeah.
Great score. Now, the only question South Kerry people will be asking was, here did Seamus Mulville get the 2 minutes? They said 32. They played to 34. Actually, we're still playing 34 and a half. I have the stopwatch on it.
It was 1914. The Great War hadn't yet begun, but in capitals around Europe, the battle lines were already being drawn with alliances and treaties. Beneath the political and military manoeuvring, myself and a small group of intelligence officers, employed discreetly by the War Department, waged a secret war against Germany, our enemy now in all but name. For years, the German Secret Service had been operating a spy network from somewhere in London. My colleagues and I tracked the spies whenever we could, arresting those who posed any threat. My years as a special branch detective have taught me the value of reliable intelligence. I knew our enemy valued it too. Every day they were out there, in London and beyond, assessing our strengths and weaknesses, reporting troop movements, identifying valuable targets. Eventually they would make their move. Like the war itself, it was inevitable. It was only a question of when.
Tralee Circuit Criminal Court heard Gardaí were called to a report of a domestic incident during which Mr. Rooney, who lives with his girlfriend and two sons, became violent and had smashed two televisions, one with his hand and the other with a laptop. He had consumed around 8 cans of lager and was on antidepressant medication. Before Gardaí arrived, Mr. Rooney took off his clothes and covered his head, arms and torso in butter, as he had seen it in a 2008 movie called Bronson, where the character made it difficult to be caught by prison officers. He also armed himself with a 14-inch kitchen knife, which he used 3 times to try and stab Sergeant Tim O'Keefe, who said he was genuinely afraid. The sergeant eventually managed to subdue the accused with pepper spray, but it was difficult to put on handcuffs due to the butter. Shortly after the incident, Mr. Rooney, who's unemployed, wrote a letter to both Gardaí, apologising, adding he was embarrassed by his actions, which was a fit of pure rage. Sergeant O'Keefe agreed it had been a Jekyll and Hyde situation and the accused had been a different person on the night of the incident. Judge Tom O'Donnell adjourned the case for 12 months and said he was keeping all options open, adding the state or Sergeant O'Keefe can seek to have the case re-entered at any time or place on the Southwest Circuit he presides on.
Now, we all know that Star Wars filming has been underway at Count Bale, which is just over the road from the school. Tell us all about The Visitor.
Well, just exactly after 3 o'clock, there was a van or a jeep drove up with the windows all darkened and all that, and out came this tall, furry type of a man, something like you'd see around Jingle the Day of the Ran. He was wearing a suit that would come in very handy the Day of the Ran and Jingle, and he had a few bodyguards with him. And he spoke with the children, and they took photographs, and the children had lovely art stuff ready for him, and they had played music.
So just to rewind, out of this blacked-out van came this big, tall, hairy creature.
Yes.
So Star Wars fans around the county would know that person or that creature to be Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, that's what they tell me. About 6'5", 6'6", I'd say. He'd make a very good full forward in the Kerry team anyway, he was around.
And so were the children very excited?
They were very excited. They were shocked and really surprised. And speak giant of a man. And but he was very nice to them, and they took him up in his arms and they took photographs and all that. So they relaxed after a while. Great time.
We're going to put a photograph on the Radio Kerry Facebook page just so people can get an image of this in their head.
The wonderful John B. Keane once remarked to me that there are just two kingdoms, the Kingdom of Heaven and the Kingdom of Kerry. And of course the great man was, as always, spot on, because Kerry is special. It's unique. There is no place like it in the whole world. And despite the fact that I have travelled far and wide, home is where the heart is. And to come home to Kerry is in many ways like coming home to heaven itself. Towering mountains, crashing seas, stunning scenery, valleys and lakes, and the ever-changing majesty of the four seasons. Kerry continues day after day to confound, mystify and amaze, because to me, more than anything else, Kerry is a spiritual place. Its traditions, places of pilgrimage, footballers, sportsmen and women, authors, singers, photographers. My county is blessed with all that is great and good. But it's the heart and soul of the people of Kerry that define it most of all. The Kerry accent, the Kerry way of life, the Kerry spirit, the Kerry followers in Croke Park on our Ireland final day singing our national anthem, expressing their unique identity as they cheer on their men in green and gold, the handing down of tradition. And then we have Radio Kerry, for 25 years the jewel in the Kerry crown, the servant of the people at home and abroad. Those exiled in the farthest corners of the world are tied forever to home through Radio Kerry. I have met Kerry diaspora who listen in far-flung regions such as Alaska, Wagga Wagga, Australia, South Africa, Chile, New York, Boston, Chicago, London and Madrid, and many more destinations with names far too complicated to pronounce. Kerry the Kingdom, where I have been so blessed to have lived all my life, married and raised my family, And when I die, hopefully I will travel from one kingdom to another.